Turn into our scriptures here, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're on a series here called March Forward and Make History. And so March Forward is going to be going into April here. But that's our sermon series, March Forward and Make History. And you see, we saw some of the military terms last week, how Paul was talking. This is Paul writing this book. For those that haven't been here for this series, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the last book that he wrote in the New Testament. He died in 68 A.D., and this book was recorded to have been written in 66, 67 A.D. Now, anyone have the page number for 2 Timothy 2? 480, page 480. I should remember that by now. Page 480. Page 40. So if you have the Bibles next to you and you want to follow along with the Bibles, it's page 480. Okay, so again, this is Paul's last words that he's giving to the church in general. And here he writes to a beloved son in the Lord, Timothy, who's a pastor. And he's speaking to Timothy, someone that he has great adoration for, great affection for. And he's giving, this is called a pastoral epistle. All right, pastoral epistle. Epistle is just basically a letter, okay? So this is the pastoral letter that Paul wrote against the last one of his life that we have recordings of, okay? And he was in a dungeon. He was in prison, okay? Now, when he wrote 1 Timothy, he was in house arrest. He was basically in a house, okay? And, you know, it had some comforts of a home. But here he's basically like in a dungeon when he's writing this story, all right? When he's writing this letter, excuse me. And so just to give you a little background, he's been suffering. He's suffered a lot. He knows he's about to die. He has it. You can see it even in his writings that he's aware. As we keep going, you'll see that he's aware. He's coming to the end of his life. All right. And so again, these words are precious in which he's writing here. Now, last week we talked about how we talked about soldiers. We talked about enduring hardship. We talked about you, not us. There's going to be enough hardship in this life. We don't need to be entangling ourselves in our own hardships. We don't need to be entangling ourselves in hardships that are not already coming, all right? So it said, don't entangle yourself. And then it talks about the athlete. It talks about how you don't receive a crown unless you run according to the rules. Then it talked about the hardworking farmer, right? So we talked about those things last week. And this week we're going to keep going on verse 8. Now we're going to talk on, there's some controversial subjects that come up in the passage that we're going to be reading today, okay? One of the controversial subjects is the I'm not going to go too far into, but the verse about election. Okay, some people say that there's the elect, and some people when the Bible references the elect, some people are wondering who that is. Okay, and so we're going to clarify a little bit of that today. Another controversial statement is that it talks about 2 Timothy 2:15 about how we're to be. We're to be diligently seeking God's approval. And so we're going to talk about what that means here as well. All right, so let's continue. Let's go starting in verse 8. Paul's telling Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Okay, so here you have the words remember. Remember. Why does he say remember? This is something that Timothy already knew. So Paul has to remind him, say, remember this, this is important. Now, this is obviously not just some light thing. This is obviously the most important thing. Okay, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is central to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why does he need to tell Timothy to remember this? It would be for the same reason why we're instructed to remember and do communion. The Bible says to do communion in remembrance of me. Because here's what happens. Come Monday, you go to work. Sometimes you forget. Come Tuesday, and you go to work again. You're waking up. Sometimes we forget. You know, God doesn't just want you living for the moment. He wants you living for eternity. He wants you with that in mind. He wants you to remember. And in order to do that, you got to remember what Jesus Christ has done. Because you cannot live a supernatural life based on what we do. You have to remember what Jesus has done. That is the basis of, that is how we can walk this life with freedom. Freedom of what has happened in our past. Freedom of what we've done. You cannot walk into the eternal things. You cannot walk in... Sorry, I hear some background noise.
Tighten up.
Willie's talking back there. All right. I think Audacity's playing back there. Okay. Anyway, I was like, hey, someone else preaching behind me. All right, Willie's there. You cannot walk in these things without Jesus. So here Paul is telling Timothy, remember. Okay. So look, you think this is something real basic, right? I mean, Timothy's a pastor. You think, come on. But here again, so I encourage for all of us that we need remembering. We need reminding of these things and constant reminders. It is not something just to take lightly, but remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Now, here's interesting. Why does he say of the seed of David? Okay, in other references, you don't see of the seed of David in there. Why was that little statement put in there? of the seed of David. This is basically verifying Jesus Christ's Jewish lineage, right? That he is a Jew. He is from the Jewish lineage. And I'll explain this a little bit more in a few verses down, okay? But he says this, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is central, the fact that he was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, why is this important that he's telling Timothy this? Let me remind you that, for those of you who might not know, that when Jesus rose from the dead, there was the Romans that were starting to spread lies and so did the Jews. They said that the disciples hid the body. They stole the body and hid it. Others said that it never happened. The resurrection never happened. Why? Because that would verify Jesus Christ as the Messiah if the resurrection happened, which it did. But they did not, first of all, the Roman soldiers didn't, the Roman Empire did not want mud on their face that, what, all of a sudden they lost this Savior, they lost this guy. So they tried to make up some lies, as well as the Jewish people, because they didn't want to, they killed him. They didn't want to think that we killed the Savior. No. So they made up lies to say that he wasn't resurrected. So this is important. He says, he was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Okay? Now the Jewish gospel, they didn't believe in the Messiah. They didn't verify. They didn't proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. But he's saying, no. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He was raised from the dead. So again, we have to look at the context, but now we look at the application to us. Remember, church, that Jesus Christ, from Jewish lineage, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I preached a message a while ago called the Gospels, all right? Just simply the gospel. And this was one of the last messages I talked about my gospel, how Paul said this was my gospel. It's one thing there's the gospel, but the question is it your gospel? Is it my gospel? Is it your gospel? Do you own the gospel? Do you own the good news of Christ? Is it your good news? Has it affected you? Has the good news of Jesus Christ dying and being raised from the grave, has it affected you personally? Is it your good news that you can proclaim as something you own? Now, you know, if I ask Joe, can you give me my wallet? Can you go give me Nicole's wallet? You're like, that's not mine, you know, unless you're really good, you know, this magician. You're not going to be able to give me Nicole or anyone else's wallet or anything, right? It has to be yours. If I ask you for what's yours, you can give it to me. So here's the question. Is the gospel yours? Is it your good news? Have you been set free from sin because of what Jesus has done? Have you been raised from the dead with him, which we'll get in here to a minute, because of what Jesus Christ has done? So let's keep going and remember that he was raised from the dead. And also remember that he's from Jewish lineage. This is a bad spot to talk from the mic, okay? According or through my gospel. Number 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Right? For the which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. So here you say, he's saying, because of the good news of the resurrected Jesus Christ, I suffer. Now, this is a strange thing. Now, here, first of all, Paul, yes, he used to kill Christians, okay? But he's not in jail because he killed Christians. He was actually praised when he killed Christians, right? The Pharisees and everyone, they loved him. He's killing Christians, great. They were against Christianity spreading. Again, because it looked bad on the Roman Empire that they killed the Savior and that he rose from the grave and they couldn't find him. The Roman soldiers seemed to have lost him, right? It looks bad on the Jewish people as well at that time, because all of a sudden what happened? They killed the Messiah. So here he says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, because not because of what he did in the past, but because of the gospel. Because simply of the gospel that he's preaching, he says, for which, in reference to what he just said, in reference to the preaching or the fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, I suffer trouble. Okay? And it talks about here about suffering, enduring hardship, which is enduring suffering. So Paul is talking from what he owns. He is going through suffering. And he's encouraging Timothy, endure, says, for which I endure. I'm enduring suffering right now as an evildoer. As if he was someone evil. As if he was someone murdering people right now. As if he was a criminal. He's suffering. Well, what was it that he did wrong? Tell me. I kind of just said it, but maybe not clear enough. What is it? What was Paul in jail for? What was he doing wrong? He was preaching the gospel. They hated him for that. The Jews hated him. They caused riots. And so the Roman soldiers got upset because the Jewish Pharisees got so mad at Paul, because where he would go, riots would happen, because the Jewish people caused the riots. They didn't want the preaching of this gospel. They didn't want to hear that Jesus Christ was the Savior, that Jesus was the Christ, right? And just so you know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. That's a little sidebar note. Jesus the Christ. Now you'll see it in there, but Christ means the anointed one. It means literally the anointed one. Okay, Messiah. So Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus Christ. When you see that put together, Jesus, the anointed one. When we look at Christ in the Greek, that's what it means, the anointed one. Or in the, for the Jewish, it literally means the Messiah. It means one and the same thing. Okay? So Jesus, when you see Christ, think of the anointed one. It's not his last name. Okay? It's his title. The anointed one. He was the one that was prophesied about. He is the Messiah. Okay? Sorry, it's a little sidebar note. All right? But for which I suffer troubles and even to the point of chains. So think about this. He's already in the dungeon. Yet the Roman Empire and the Jewish people, they convinced the Roman Empire that, look, this guy needs to be in chains. The dungeon isn't even good enough. This guy is an animal. He can escape jails like Brian was talking about. It's true. He did escape, right? I mean, the angels came one time and let him loose. The earthquake happened. There were some times where he didn't even escape. He came and he saved all the people that were going through an earthquake and he pulled them back. And, you know, I'm sorry, that was Peter. But, you know, there was different times where they were in jail, yet, in any case, he's saying that they chained him this time. That he was chained up, even to the point of chains, that they consider him such a criminal with the worst of worst that they had to chain him in a dungeon. Okay? That says, but the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained. Here's his hope. Here's where he's coming to hope. He said, look, I suffer this, but the word of God still gets out. My hands might be fettered. My ankles might be tied up. But you know what? The word of God in me is not chained. It will still get out no matter what chain I'm going through. What chain are you going through today? What is it that you feel has chained you down? What do you feel maybe someone else has put on you that is not right? A label that someone else has talked about you that you feel chained to that label that is not from God. But you know what? The word of God will stand the test of time. The word of God is not chained. In fact, the word of God is unchained. So allow the word of God to even unchain you. Don't allow someone else's label of you to stick on you. People forsook Paul because of his chains. But you know what? He said, I'm not ashamed. He was not ashamed. No, he was chained. But you know, the word of God is not. It will still get out despite all this. I might be chained, but the word of God is not. He didn't even worry about his reputation. He didn't even worry about that because he knew who he was inside. He was the truth. He knew he had the truth. He had Jesus. He says, for I suffer trouble, even to the point of chains. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Therefore, what it was therefore is there for a reason. Okay, whenever you see the word therefore, you got to look a few scriptures up. So because I suffer as an evildoer, okay, you know, because of the gospel, and because I suffer as an evildoer, because of this, because I'm chained, the word of God is not, I endure. Because the word of God is not chained, I will endure. I will endure all things for the sake of the elect. And this is where we talk about the elect, okay? That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So let's look first at endure. I endure all things. You know, I saw a few different quotes on here, and I thought this was kind of cool. Enduring here doesn't just mean, it literally means to remain under. Remain under. I'm just going to endure this, right? I'm going to endure what's going on. But it doesn't mean remaining under without hope. Let me like, okay, I'm just going to do my duty and just take this. No, it means that you're taking it with hope. You're taking it with hope. I mean, think of what the hope that Paul just talked about. I said, yeah, I might be chained, but the word of God is not. He saw something that was unchained that was still coming out. This letter was coming out of the dungeon. So he was enduring. Why? Because the word of God was still moving through him out. You might be going through some dark hardships in your life, but know that the word of God can still come out. All right? Endure. Endure not with this hopelessness that I'm just going to bear this and this is the end of my life. I'm just going to die from this. No, knowing that God is still using you in the midst of this. God is still using you in the midst of this. For I endure for the sake of the elect. All right? So Spurgeon said that, he said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. I thought that was a funny statement. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark, all right? Perseverance is also illustrating the nature, for today's mighty oak is just yesterday's little nut that held its ground. Just some quotes I thought was funny about notes. funny about enduring here, okay? Another example is that even the woodpecker owes his success to the fact that he uses his head and keeps pecking away until he finishes the job he starts. Another quote, great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. And so, just a word on enduring, that, you know, you keep enduring, but you endure with hope, knowing that God has breakthrough for you, and that for more than that, the word of God is going to break through. Okay, for the sake of the elect, so who's the elect here? Right, and there's some different people that think different things about this. To me, this clearly references the Jewish people, okay, as the elect. The elect here, because if you just look before that, he established that, remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David. He's talking about the Jewish lineage, okay? He's talking that, why was he in jail? Because he was preaching the gospel. Who was the one that hated him the most for preaching the gospel? Not as much the Greeks. the Romans, yeah, but it was more the Jewish people. They are the ones that caused the riots, okay? And he says, for them, for the sake of the elect. And if you even look also, this is, again, you might not, this might not make sense to you, that's okay, but for those that understand this doctrine of election, then here's just a few points. Is that they also, that means that there are some that are, for they also, those that have not obtained salvation yet, okay? That means some have. For those that haven't, so this is not just generally speaking of everybody, okay? That there are just some people that are elected and some not. This is speaking of the Jewish people, that these were the elect. These was God's remnant. God chose the Jewish people to, for Jesus to come through. That's God's chosen people. And God still, I still believe that God loves the Jewish people. Okay? I believe that God, they have a special place in God's heart. They are from whom Jesus come from. God protects. I am for Israel. I'll establish that. You know, I am for Israel. I am for the Jewish nation. But I'm more for them knowing the Messiah more than anything else. That's what I believe God's for them for. You know, and God has that, I believe, a special hand upon them. But he says, for the sake of the elect, I'm enduring this, that the word of God can go out, even in the midst of my chains. So the Jewish people know that even though they have hurt me, I still love them. And even though they are the ones that cause these riots, I still love them. The word of God, that chain, the word of God will still go out. They might chain me, but the word of God will still live. It will still move on. He says, I'm doing this that they might obtain salvation. Salvation. That they might obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, the anointed one Jesus, with eternal glory. So he's established this with Jesus, not with someone else that's coming. Okay, so again, this is where I see the Jewish people. It's not with someone else that's coming online. It's with Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. It's with him for eternal glory, not temporal glory. Because they rejected Jesus because they thought the Messiah would come and overthrow the Roman Empire. They didn't realize that he was going to overthrow all evil for all time. Okay? They didn't recognize that. They just thought whoever the Messiah would be would overthrow the Roman Empire. So you're saying, no, you're going to be going with him in eternal glory. So whoever, if the Messiah came and overthrew, if Jesus would have come and overthrew the Roman Empire, the Jews would be like, yeah, this is our man. He is the conquering king. He's the one prophesied about. A lot of the Pharisees would have believed because he overthrew the Roman Empire. But you know what? That wouldn't have lasted for eternity, would it? That would have only lasted for that mark in time. Jesus came and he died. And through that death, he conquered the grave for all eternity. So now we can go to heaven with him. Okay? So here he's saying for Christ Jesus with eternal glory, not just the temporal glory that you were seeking. Okay? I'm getting a little teaching. I'm really trying to break this down for you. Let's keep going here. Okay, if you have any questions, you feel free to ask. Right? So next thing, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. So let me say this. This is a faithful saying. If you look at this, this is actually in some Bibles, it's in quotations. They say this is actually from a song that was being sung at the time. But notice what we're saying. This is a faithful saying. All right? This is saying true. You're going to hear a lot of things that are not true, Timothy. But this is faithful. This is truth right here. That if we died with him, we shall also live with him. But look what it says here. If we died with him, there's an if. It's conditional. Have you died with Christ? And it goes back to what I'm saying. Is it your gospel? Is it my gospel? Have you realized that your sins were on the cross of Jesus Christ? That you do not have to pay for them. They were paid for you. Have you nailed your sins to the cross? Have you brought them to Jesus? Say, here they are, Jesus. I believe that when you died, that you paid for the sin so I do not have to. That I can come and enter into eternal glory with you. That I can live with you right here and now and for eternity in heaven. If we've died with him, if we've died with him, that means you need to realize, look, in the Old Testament, they put their hands over a sacrificial animal, and they put their sins symbolically upon the animal when they laid their hands on it, and then they killed the animal as a sacrifice for their sins. Jesus was your sacrifice. And you need to place your hands or your sins, so to speak, on Jesus and say, I believe that Jesus died. I symbolically believe, I believe, I receive. You don't have to put your hands, you don't want Jesus to put your hands on, okay? You believe in your heart, and you say, put my sins, I lay them down before Christ, not to pick them up again. And if you do, guess what? You can put them back down on the cross again. But he doesn't forgive you so that you keep sinning. He forgives you so that you have freedom to walk towards God. That's what he does. So you have freedom to walk to God. And if you mess up again, guess what? You come right back to the cross. The purpose is not for you to sin again. The purpose is for you to come to God, being clean and holy and pure before him. Okay? So, again, if we have died with him, I want you to check, have you died with him? Have you died with him? That's not the good parts. It's not. This is specifically referencing sin. Have you died? Has your sins, has your past, has the shame of what has done before, have you died? Has that died with Jesus? Have you received the new life? It says, we shall also live with him. Remember, this is a faithful saying. And then next one, it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we endure. Speaking that some might not endure. Some might not endure. And I would even reference this. You look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist, at the end of his life, he came and he was about to be beheaded. He was in jail. And he told Jesus. Now, John the Baptist dunked Jesus. He baptized Jesus himself. He was on preparing the way for Jesus. By the end of his life, John the Baptist sends the disciples to his cousin Jesus and says, are you really the one? Whoa, come on, buddy. You're his cousin. You knew. You're the one who leaped in the belly when they were just babes. You knew that he was the one. Why are you questioning this? You look here. If we endure. And Jesus said, Jesus told John's disciples. He said, look, you see me heal the sick. You see me the blind see, the lame walk. Report these things that you see back to him. Okay? And then he turns around to his disciples and says, blessed are those that don't stumble because of me. Okay, something like that. I'm referencing, I'm paraphrasing, all right? But he's basically saying that, he can be, Jesus recognized that he himself could be a stumbling block. Because sometimes our prayers, here's John the Baptist, he's in prison. Wouldn't you think that Jesus would come and set his cousin free from jail? Here's what happens. Sometimes when your prayers don't get answered, sometimes you begin to question things that you shouldn't really be questioning. Sometimes we don't realize that, God's still king. God is still the truth no matter what. But sometimes we don't endure because we feel God has failed us. And also we begin wondering our interpretation of who God is. Let me say this. God is not your genie in the bottle. Okay? God is not your genie in the bottle. He does not want to just to perform everything you want. I want a pig right now. Okay, God, I don't believe in you. But that's what happens though. Sometimes we do this and we expect, all right, God, oh, okay, that's it. If we endure, you got to realize that sometimes there's a deeper prayer in your heart that you pray. You say, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. Would you reject your father if your father didn't give you something you wanted and say, that's not my father anymore? Or that's not my mother anymore? Or that's not my kid anymore? Because they didn't give me, no. You got to know this is the truth, not just because of what they give to you. Right, not just because of what they do, if we endure. So here the John the Baptist, he still got beheaded. Here Paul's in the dungeon. He knows he's going to die. But he still endures. He knows. It doesn't matter what happens. He has laid down his life for the greatest king this world or this eternity will ever know. For Jesus Christ, the anointed one. He says, for if we endure, we shall also reign with him. We will reign with him. I'm not going to get into that right now. But it has to do kind of with the authority that I talked about. We can reign in this life with him, knowing that we have the authority to say, sickness, go back. Sickness, go back from where you came from. Devils, you can flee. Demons do not have to have control of you when you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? And it says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Next scripture says, and if we are faithless, he is faithful. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So this kind of goes back to the enduring thing. But if we are faithless, if we all of a sudden say, all right, Jesus, I'm not going to believe in you anymore. He says, he still remains faithful. He remains faithful to you. He remains faithful to who he is. He's not going to recant and say, oh, well, you know what? That's right. I'm not Jesus. That's what it's saying here. He's not going to go back. I mean, look, Martin Luther, who wrote the thesis, 99 thesis he put up there. They wanted him to recant. And he said, take this back. Take back your words. Take back this. And he said, no, I won't recant. And he's saying here, Jesus is not going to recant from who he is. He is who he is. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Okay? He's not going to go back on who he said he was. He was who he said he was. He remains faithful. It says he cannot deny himself. So you might want to deny because we didn't get what we wanted, at that time. But you know what? God wants something more than just your immediate prayer request, and so do you. In your heart, you want something more as well. God created us like that. So he says, he cannot deny himself. Let's keep going here. Verse 14, remind them of these things. Again, here's that reminding them. Remind them of these things. What things? These faithful sayings. Not the unfaithful sayings. Not your opinions. Remind them of these faithful sayings. Charging them before the Lord. This is encouraging them, instilling in them. Tell them, charge them before the Lord. Charge them in the presence of God. Realize, Timothy, that when you speak to these people, speak in the presence of the Lord, before the Lord. Speak before the Lord and charge them with these very words, with these faithful saying. Remind them, charge them before the Lord, what not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Not to strive about these empty words. Not to strive. And look, let me just say this. I don't know exactly what this means. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know exactly what it means, okay? But it says, don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Basically, my understanding of this, okay, is limited, all right? What words was Paul talking about? What does he mean to the ruin of the hearers? And he talks about this in a few more scriptures down the line here, okay? And we'll get into a bit more next week as well. But it says, don't strive about these words. Don't mince these words. Don't get so caught up in opinions of what you think it means. Don't get caught up in the things that don't matter for eternity. Don't get caught up in the affairs of this life, which he talked about really early on, right? In 2 Timothy 2:2, early in the scripture. Don't get caught up with these words. Don't get caught up with opinions. Don't get caught up that your thoughts are so important that you have to share it. Don't get caught up with them because they come to the ruin. The ruin really means the overthrowing, the destruction of the hearers. It's not even just ruin. Ruin has gone lighter. The word is not as strong as it used to be in our vernacular. Okay, ruin, or the destruction of those that understand these empty words. They're not that important.
Reminding them of these things, warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value. It only ruins those who listen.
Yep. And you see, in a few verses, Dan talks about to stay away from profane and idle babblings, which we'll talk about probably a little bit more next week. So again, it links back to this, but it's the same thing here. Don't get caught up with opinions. Don't get caught up with this whole, let's say, election thing that I talked about. If you don't know what it means, don't worry, it's not an eternal matter that's going to matter too much. What matters is he died. He rose from the grave. You are to die with him and be raised with him as well and reign with him. These are the faithful things, okay? So charge them. Make sure you tell them before the Prince of God not to strive about all this other stuff. Don't make what's not important important. Don't make what's not important important, okay? Next verse. But be diligent to present yourself approved to God, okay? So in the King James verse says, study to show yourself approved. But here, this is another thing where the vernacular has gone down, the meaning of study. I guess, from what I understand, Dr. Michael Brown says this, that study actually means the same thing as strive. It said back then, when they would study, they'd be striving in the Word of God. Okay, this word means strive. So before he says, don't strive about words that are, that don't about these empty words. Don't strive about those things. But do strive, or be diligent. Okay, to present yourself approved unto God. Now, for those of us that have heard the grace message particularly, which is the grace message from God is true, this quirks our brain a little bit. But let me just note, this is in the Bible. Okay, to present yourself approved to God. What does that mean? Aren't I approved already? Aren't I approved? I mean, this is the conflict I talked about, all right? Aren't I already approved unto God? What do you mean? Why do I need to show myself? Why do I have to strive to be approved? Okay, so this is the conflict that we run into when we look at this scripture. But let's context again. Let's look at what the scripture is talking about. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Let's just stop there. A worker. A worker who needs not be ashamed. Now, I did a series a while ago talking about your different kinds of relationships with God. You know, before God, you are a child of God. All right? First of all, you are lost. And he is your savior. Okay? He is your hero. You need to understand, that's the basic thing right there. You also then become a son and daughter, and he's your father, okay? You also, there's a servant, and he's your king, all right? He's the master, and you are a worker, okay? There's so many references. You just look at all the names of God, and what is your context to that name? It represents different facets of who he is, and that also represents different facets of our relationship, okay? So come here that we're a worker. It's not saying that you need to show yourself as an approved son and daughter. It says as a worker. You're already an approved son and daughter of God. Jesus Christ, when he came, he died for you. You are approved. All right? You have been approved as a son and daughter. But it says as a worker. This word worker is the same word that says laborer. Okay, it talks about how in the harvest, the laborers are few. But the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This is really in reference. Again, remember, he's talking to Timothy. Who already knows that he's a son of the King of Kings. He already knows he's a Christian. He's saying, look, yeah, you're a Christian, but make sure you are approved before God as a worker. As a worker. Not as a son and daughter. Okay? Important to clarify this. And it's even more important when we look at the next part. It says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to rightly divide even this word of truth right here. We need to rightly divide and understand, okay? We understand what's eternal, what's important, what's not important. So right here, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. So look, God wants you to be approved as a worker. Look, when you get to heaven, what is he going to say to you? What is the word in the Bible that says that he will say to those that go to heaven? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good. That's what we're looking for when we get to heaven. We have access to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Okay? But here it says, as a worker, God does look at our works. Okay? He doesn't mean you have to strive to work. Doesn't mean that you need to, let me actually rephrase that. There is some striving and working. That means that it is not easy. Okay? Doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy to do everything. There are hardships like Paul guaranteed us. Right? That's not easy. Sufferings or doing without something is not easy. But it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, particularly a worker who rightly divides the word of truth. Why is that important? Because if you're going to be a laborer in the harvest, you need to know how to present the gospel. You need to know how to share. If you even look at verse 1 and 2, he's talking about share these things with those who are faithful. 2 Timothy 2:2. Who are faithful, who are able to teach. Remember the context of 2 Timothy 2:2. That's the context. Sharing with those who are faithful and able to teach. We go back here. Be a worker. Be a worker in the harvest. Make sure we know how to teach. Make sure we can break down the word of God. That we don't get caught up in these words that don't matter. Don't get caught up with arguments when you're in the harvest field, when you're talking with your coworkers. Don't get caught up with these non-important things that lead to more ungodliness, that lead to the destruction of the hearers. Don't get caught up about the movie Noah. Don't get caught up. I know they're wrong. I'm not planning on going seeing, okay? But don't get caught up with it. Look, you can give attention. Just like don't get caught up with the devil. Don't get entangled with those things. Understand, realize, have awareness of the enemy, but you focus on God. Focus on the word of God. Focus on what's truth. How do I present this truth? How do I rightly divide the word of God? You know, sometimes I can share the gospel, and you know, I evaluate. Sometimes I do okay, sometimes I do much better, sometimes I do not so good. And I got to go back and I want to study. I want to do better. I want to present it better. Why? Because God cares. Paul cares about the sum. The some people I don't understand. You look at that. Next week we'll talk about that a little bit more. Because he says later on, the shun the profane and idle babblings. It says that these two guys were talking about the resurrection already being passed and how they overthrow the faith of some. God cares about the some. And God wants you to care about the harvest. And to do that, you know, we got to rightly divide the word of God. We got to study to show ourselves, study or strive to show ourselves as an approved worker. You're a child of God. So let me say this. Let me go back to this for a second because, you know, it's one thing when you're born. Let's say I have my little baby Olivia, okay? She's about 18 months old or 19 months old, okay? Now, I don't expect her to become a pastor tomorrow. Oh, that would be pretty dumb, right? Okay? She's not going to become the pastor of Allentown Victory, right? I don't expect her to be a worker like that. She's a child. She's growing up. I'm glad she's a child, okay? But at some point, I believe that God's going to put her in whatever ministry that God has for her. And at that time, she needs to be studying and preparing like an athlete, preparing to what God has for her as a worker. And approve, say, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be ready for this. This is exactly what he's talking about in 2 Timothy 2:2 here. All right? If you look in the context, all right, to strive to present yourself as a worker. So it's one thing being a child. It's another thing taking over your father's business. Okay? It's one thing. So you're approved as a child. But God wants you to take over his business of redemption. It's not just you taking over. You're going with him into this harvest field. You're going with him into your workplace. You're going with him to the streets. You're going with him to your family. And he says, look, take this work of redemption with you. You are now my workers that are out there. You are the laborers. You are the ones out there. Just don't go out there unequipped. Go out there and rightly divide the word of God so you can present it. So you can present to the harvest. So you could do the work of an evangelist, which is what Paul tells Timothy before, okay? So let's, just in closing here, okay? I put here to study, to strive, okay? Rightly dividing the word of truth, but strive as a laborer. Strive as a worker. Strive, and this is why we have some of these tools like Ministry Grid. Another thing, so that we can grow in our understanding, so we can grow in the word of God. So again, so it's not just that I can have the word of God. It's my gospel. But so I can present my gospel. So I can present what's affected my life. First, you got to be a son and child of God, okay? First, you got to say, I receive this gospel. And then study it. Understand it more. Devour it, okay? Devour it. And then how can I share this with somebody else? Just don't throw up your hands like, oh man, I can't share it, I don't like doing it, but how can I? Lord, help me. Strive about it. Wrestle with it. God wants you to wrestle with things. It's part of God's ordained process, is to wrestle. Okay, what is this scripture meaning? What is it meaning? How do I effectively share this? I'm having trouble. What do I do? What is this saying? How can I share this with others? You know, that's part of God's process. God wants you to talk about the Word of God with Him. He wants it to be a conversation with Him. So deliver the message. Deliver what God has for you. Remember, it's a deliver the faithful message. Remember that Paul's saying, these things share with others. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about other words, okay? But these are faithful sayings. He says, before he says, commit these things. Commit these sayings that I've said to you. The ones that have been in love and faith that we saw in chapter 1. Commit these sayings. So remember the faithful sayings. Those are the ones that you want to rightly divide and bring before. All right? And do it with accuracy. Don't mess around with opinions. Don't mess around with this and this. What is the word? What is truth? What is eternal truth? That's what I need to share. I don't need to share my opinion on something that's maybe not true. No. Jesus is the truth. I want to share that. Endure hardship for the lives of others. Here's Paul, enduring hardship. He's enduring hardship. Why? Because of the message that he presented. Because of the word that he rightly divided. The one that where Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He divided and he spoke that truth accurately, and it's for that he endured hardship. So if you're going to endure hardship, don't do it because of something else. Do it because you're presenting the gospel. Because you're sharing God. Look, you don't have to be in someone's face. I'm not telling you. Here's the thing: we hear these people, and we don't like people to be in or up in our face and up in our grill about telling us about Jesus. Look, I'm not telling you to be doing that, but I am saying, how can you effectively share the person that changed your life with somebody else? If you had a good product, something that's been beneficial. If you had a really great shampoo that man, this thing is awesome. If you had a hair growth shampoo, come on, bald man. If you had a hair growth shampoo. Would you tell somebody else about it? Oh, yeah. You know, she'd be like, no, I want to be the only guy. You know, if you had a hair growth shampoo, you'd be telling somebody else about it. So we're not ashamed of it. But, you know, some people are not going to believe it. Yeah, right. So what do? Well, look at my hair. Look at my heart. Look at my life. God's been changing me. I've received this gospel. It's my gospel. Look at how it's affected me. So look, you got to take it first. But then think, how can I share it? They're not going to believe me. Think about, how about your testimony? This is truth, your testimony, how God's changed your life. Just trying to give you some tools. There's so much more I could share, but I'm going to close with that. Let's have everyone stand here with me today. So I know some of these things are hard. Remember, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. However, this would be the same way I believe Paul would speak to us. This is not just for pastors or different things. This is for us. And here's the thing. I know I talked about my baby Olivia not being a pastor tomorrow. However, we all can teach other people something. Just like you can teach your child something. There's something about what God has done in your life now. Perhaps it's just even recognizing. Look, God wants you to be a witness. A witness. That means that you have to have seen it yourself. So first, let's just witness. Let's just witness God. Let's just see what He's done and recognize that. And tell somebody else, hey, I just witnessed God did this in my life. You don't have to say, hey, come on, I'm going to bring you into eternity right now. You know, just tell somebody else, witness of God, and share that. Teach it. Look, this is what God did. This is how He did it with me. This is awesome. Why not? If He's really good, why not? Again, you don't have to go in this profound thing. Don't make it so hard. At the same time, how can I share this good thing to where someone else can hear it and see God? Not so they could see me and how great I am, but how can they see God? That's what I want to do. I want people to see God. I want you to see God here today. I want you to see Him and realize that He's worth dying for, but more than that, He's worth living for. He's worth living for right now. He's worth telling others about because He's good. And He wants us to share that good news with others. He wants you to share that good news with somebody else. You know, I was challenged. I take my daughter to dance class. I wasn't planning on sharing this. I take my daughter to dance class on Saturdays because she loves dance. And there's conversations. There's all these dance moms who are a little interesting in their conversations. You know, it's gossip and all that stuff that happens. I just kind of stay away from it. And all of a sudden, I started to hear conversations. Someone was talking about appendicitis, how husband had appendicitis. And I'm thinking, I have appendicitis. I know what that's like. And someone else was talking about how they had something else. I'm thinking, I had that. I had that over there. And I'm thinking, Lord. And I didn't want to jump in these conversations. I literally wasn't invited on the outskirts. They probably would have let me and talk about it. I wanted to testify how I was healed of these two things, these very two things that I dealt with. If that's not a God setup, I don't know what is. And I missed it. I don't know if I missed it per se, because then a third conversation came up, and then I jumped in. All right, I'm jumping in this one. You know, there's another gentleman here, you know, who's dealing with some things, and I got to talk with him, and it went really good. And I didn't necessarily, he didn't come to Christ, it wasn't anything like that, but I just got to be a light, and I got to share some of what God's been doing with me, and it was just a good conversation. And I saw opportunity. I'm like, all right, God, you're setting something up. This is uncomfortable for me, but all right. I'll talk with these dance moms if that's what you want me to do, whatever, I don't know. You know, but talk with the dance father, you know. And so anyway, take note of what maybe some of the opportunities that God's bringing your way. And just ask God, God, what can I do? How can I share? What can I do here? Let's pray. I want us to pray. And let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want to encourage you today to just to wrestle with God if you need to. Wrestle with the scripture. Wrestle. Make a commitment. Say, God, I'm going to search after you in this matter. This is of eternal importance. These other things, yeah, they're important, but this is eternal importance. Help me, Lord, to understand this. Father, I thank you for each person here today, God, and I pray that you would enlighten our eyes of understanding to see, Lord, the hope and the calling that's within us, Lord God. And I pray that we would receive, Lord, receive your forgiveness here today. Be able to receive and, Lord, as well, breathe it out, Lord God, and to witness of how you have touched us. To be able to share with others, Lord God, the hair growth serum, Lord. To share with others, Lord God, the miracle that you are doing in our life, Lord. Lord, that we could be witnesses and just be able to share what we have seen, Lord, and have experienced you do in our life. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you've put in our life. Thank you for what you're taking us through and bringing us out of, Lord, and bringing us into. Thank you for that. If you're here today, and with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you have never received the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came, that he died for you to take away your sins, that he paid the penalty for your sins so that you don't have to. If you have never heard that good news and never received it, likewise, not only did he take your sins, but he also rose from the grave to where now we live. We didn't just die with Christ, but now we live with him, and we live with him forever. And you want to say, I want that good news. I want to receive that good news for myself. I want to take it. I want to receive it. I want it to be my good news. That today I want to say, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You died for my sins, and I accept that payment. I accept that payment, and I accept this life. If that's you here today and you've never done that, I want to do it today. I want to ask you to raise your hand just between you, me, and God right now. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Anybody else? Some of you here today might want to rededicate and say, you know what, I need to receive the gospel again. Maybe you've fallen this week. Maybe you've fallen this month or this year. And you say, you know what, I need to step forward. I need to say, yes, God, I receive your forgiveness for what I did yesterday, the week before. If that's you here today, I want you to slip up your hand. Look, this is not about me seeing your hand. This is about you and God. Just you and God right now. I won't even look, okay? It's between you and God that you're saying, yes, God, this is me. I'm not ashamed to put my hand up between you and me that I need to make right, and I'm going to receive your forgiveness for me. And put your hands down. So I encourage you, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And as I said before in times past, not the words of my mouth or not the words of your mouth that matter, but it's the words that come from your heart that God hears. The words that come from your heart. So when you're repeating these words, make sure they line up with what your heart is really saying, because God hears that. The confession of your mouth needs to spring up from what's in your heart. So let's pray here and listen to the words and echo them from your heart. Let's pray. Dear Father, I come before you now, and I thank you for sending Jesus for me. I deserved the worst punishment for my sin. I could not come before you, O God, with this sin in my life. But right now, I accept Jesus, that he came and died and took my punishment so that I don't have to. And then not only did he do that, but he cleansed me so I can be clean before you, O God. I accept that payment. I accept the cleaning of my soul. I receive your forgiveness. And God, I come before you now. And I say, here I am. Here is my heart, God. Here is my life. I give it to you. Rescue me. And I will follow you, God. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for my life. And I give it to you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, praise God. You can give a round of applause for that to God. You know, I feel that there might be a couple people here. And actually, I heard someone tell me this week, but I'm not actually referencing that person, so you know this, right? But I feel there's some people here that might be dealing with suicidal thoughts. And if you are, just know, this is not, life is not just meant for you, it's meant for God. When you give it over to God, it's His. It's His. He wants your life. And He's going to turn it into good when it's in His hands. Trust Him with that life. Don't give it to the enemy or give it away. It is useful for God. So God, I thank you for each person here, Lord. Help us to walk out, Father, this life, and help us to see you this week. I want to encourage you, if you raise your hand and gave your life to Christ for the first time, there's four things I want to encourage you. And I'll say them real quick. If you have a friend with you, I encourage you, friend, to tell them about this. Number one, read the Word of God. Start with the book of John, the Gospel of John. If you don't have a Bible, take that Bible with you. Read the Word. Read the Bible. Start with John. Pray. Talk to God. He's real. He really wants to hear from you. So talk to Him. Number three, tell somebody else about the decision. Don't be quiet. Again, you don't have to tell somebody about, look, you don't have to tell everybody about the Gospel. But just say, I made a decision today. That's how you start. You witness. Say, witness, I made a decision. I'm going to tell someone. I'm going to witness that I made a decision to follow Christ today. Tell somebody else. And number four, go to church. Go to church. Find a discipleship group. Go to church. You are welcome to this place. You are welcome here. If you do not live close by or if someone else you want to go there and go there steadily. Go there steadily. You're going to be offended. There'll be something you don't like, and that's all right. That's how family is made. When there's disagreements happen, you come closer together and you say, I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to keep going forward. So those are the four things I want to encourage you with. Read your Bible. Pray. Talk to God, all right? And then tell somebody else and go to church. God bless you. You have a wonderful week. Remember our after party, and we will see you. Those that come, remember we have Sunday night, the altar tonight. And if not, we'll see you next week. God bless.